Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, a.k.a. Lil Dumplin'.
Jordan Morris, sobered up in time for the podcast.
Yeah, now we're talking, Jordan. We're both here having fun.
Of course. Who's having more fun than us? No one.
I mean,
well, maybe Chrissy Teigen
yeah.
and John Legend. They always seem like they're having fun, don't they?
I feel like all they really have to do to have a great time is disrobe and go to town.
Sure.
Like, if you're them.
Sure.
Come on. What could be? I mean, I know, like, at their age,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just probably a once-a-day thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, well, they're busy. And it's hard to find the time to disrobe and go to town.
Well, they have assistants.
Oh, that's true.
So maybe they do it once a day and then their assistants do it once a day.
Do you think that, like, so it's just to kind of to keep things interesting, it's a kind of a combination of disrobing and going to town and then getting Disney passes and getting really into collecting the pins.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, if you're a famous person...
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Disneyland and they just give you a guy and the guy just says, whatever you want, I'll make it happen.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not talking about weird stuff.
Right.
They're not. I mean, I guess.
He's not going to put Batman in a Marvel movie for you.
No, but
that would be confusing.
They'd probably slip a little booze into your mint julep.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
In New Orleans. You're talking about outside of California Adventure where booze is legal.
Yeah, I'm talking about at New
in the
Orleans,
park proper.
New Orleans Square, where you can
right.
get that gross mint julep
boy.
That doesn't have any booze in it.
Do you think they would also slip a little booze into your clam chowder in a bread bowl?
Absolutely. I think they'd slip.
For a certain tier of celebrity, for a Chrissy Teigen-level celebrity, they will they will Irish up your clam chowder.
You know, I went to Disneyland once with John Stamos.
Mm.
He asked for clams in his Dole Whip, and they said, absolutely, Mr. Stamos.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can add booze to clams, or you can add clams to other things?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I got to get famous.
It's like if you have the guy
right.
that takes you through Disneyland.
Yeah. You're talking about Stitch, right?
Yeah.
This is Stitch
yeah,
of
this
Lilo
is Stitch.
And Stitch. Okay.
This is Stitch. Stitch hasn't
he's
been up
guy.
To much the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, he's like a Disney docent now.
The guy, when you go to get the Dole Whip,
right.
they show you a kind of like a Yogurtland style Toppins bar
mm-hmm.
for your Dole Whip. It's mostly seafood, but it's not all seafood.
Right. Little Siffy J.
Yeah.
And this is something that civilians don't get to see.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is the civilians might freak out if you told them that the lime juice cooks the fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they can't handle that.
They can't deal with that. So
what kind of perks will be available in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge when it opens up later this year?
That's an interesting question. I mean, when you're talking Star Wars,
right.
of course, you're going to be talking spice. The galaxy is
oh,
at war
you're
over
thinking of
spice.
Dune. You're thinking of Dune. Thinking of Dune.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's something where...
Jordan?
Yeah?
If you're talking Star Wars, you're going to be talking teleporters.
I think you're thinking of Star Trek. Although... I don't know. There could be teleporters in Star Wars. It's not an area where I can go super deep.
Oh, I thought of a Star Trek food.
Okay.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot. That's what Captain Picard says when he wants his tea.
That's boring.
Yeah. We had some Star Trek tea here at the office, and it said that, and I asked Danny what it meant.
Oh, that's nice.
He told me all about it.
Whew. 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 Whew.
Yeah.
Anyway, I decided, this is a little bit of a first for me, not a first, but something I have not done recently, that I had been thinking to myself that I am not as fun as I used to be.
Oh, wow.
I've been fun
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not so fun.
Are you now, Jordan?
Yeah.
I think you're definitely still fun. Compared to most.
Well,
maybe not compared to old Jordan, but like
right.
Have you met, like, the lady that runs the convenience store?
I don't listen. I'm using myself as the barometer. Mm-hmm. I can't control what others do.
Right.
Something I've learned in therapy. I can only control me.
Compare yourself, say, to the Secretary of State.
Sure.
Are whoever you fun compared to that person?
Whoever that is, I don't know. Well, I mean, I think at this
Mike
point,
Pompeo.
I think at this point, the Secretary of State could be a former American gladiator.
Secretary of State, laser.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he's more fun than me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
well,
I feel
certainly
like
if there's a man-sized hamster ball around,
right? It's someone shooting tennis balls at you out of a hydraulic cannon.
Yeah,
that's what the State Department is now, right? Just someone shooting you with tennis balls out of a hydraulic cannon.
Yeah, the State Department is all takes place at halftime at an Atlanta Hawks game.
So I was thinking about how I don't feel like I've been fun recently. When people ask me what I've done over the weekend, it's just a list of things I've done in Dark Souls 3.
Uh-huh.
You know, upgrading my great sword.
Well, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, defeating the curse-rotted greatwood. Things like this.
Do you think Mike Pompeo has defeated the curse-rotted greatwood?
No. I know Pompeo is not only has he defeated the curse-rotted greatwood, but he's defeated 3 of the 4 Lords of Cinder. Including Aldrich, the Devourer of Gods.
Wow. All yeah. that's left is Block.
What's that mean?
That's the 4th Lord of Cinder.
Block?
Yeah, Cinder Block.
Oh, I see what you're getting at. I'm like, Jesse, I haven't beaten the game, but I know that Block isn't one of the Lords of Cinder.
Yeah.
You were making a pun.
No.
So I decided to go have a drink for St. Paddy's Day, which is when,
mm-hmm.
which.
Once.
Why. Why? Which?
Worst.
Worst. Is where is worst we're recording?
Verst.
Yeah. And I was responsible enough to head on home, have a little coffee, so I could sober up before the podcast.
So did you have...
So I've been fun and responsible today.
Did you have like a midday alcohol?
It was a 2. It was a 2 p.m. alcohol.
Well, you know what they say.
What do they say?
I don't know. Something at 2 o'clock somewhere?
Yes, that's what Jimmy Buffett's brother says.
It's 2 o'clock
that's
here.
That's what Bill Buffett says.
It's 2 o'clock here, I believe, is the saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm having a little coffee,
mm-hmm.
making sure I can, you know, coast.
Keep the energy up.
Keep the energy up. Keep the goofs coming. Keep on remembering things that I've done in Dark Souls.
Did you go for St. Patrick's Day? Did you do a St. Patrick's style imbibation?
Well, here's what I did. I met past guest on this show, Andy Wood, who
oh,
is
sure.
the person I know who is still fun.
Yeah.
And we met at the Village Idiot, which is a British style pub. And we had a couple of Bass Ales, which is a British style ale.
Yeah.
And we listened to a bagpipe player who is Scottish. So no, we didn't do any Irish shit.
It was a tribute to Britain's domination of the Irish.
Yeah, it was. So we really celebrated the oppression.
You had a
with
colonialist
some generally European-y things.
That's beautiful.
We had a lot of fun.
That's
but
nice.
It was reasonable, and we called it an afternoon at a reasonable time.
Let's introduce our guest on the program.
I'd love to.
You know her as a beloved regular guest on Jordan Jesse Go. You know her for her work on international waters, now troubled waters, on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. You know her as a stand-up comic. You know her as a stand-up lady, Riley Silverman.
Hello.
Hi, Rye.
When you said stand-up lady, I like literally like a wink and a like finger gun.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what you have to do when that's being
thank
said.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The official hand gesture of stand-up people everywhere.
You know it.
Yeah, there it is.
That your story reminded me of last week when we were having fun by having brunch together.
Yeah.
Along with our mutual friend and member of the Max Fun family and beloved star of our, I don't know, I'm thinking words, Sarah Morgan.
Oh,
and
yeah, sure.
She was talking about how she had made the mistake of coming to the States one time on St. Patrick's Day and not realizing it, and then realizing she was wearing green by accident and just feeling like that total like internal conflict of being a British person suddenly celebrating and like the caricaturization of the Irish and how like, I was like, that's a level of like experience. It's like being American, being like Cinco de Mayo, and thinking you're really clever and cool by wearing a sombrero, but with white people on white people crime, and it was very fascinating.
I think that we have probably brought this up on the show before, but my stepmother, with whom I grew up, who married my dad when I was seven or something, is Irish, and she's not a woman without rage overall. However, the whitest and hottest of her rage is reserved for Americans doing Irish stuff.
Ah, sure.
Like, there is nothing...
How does she feel about the Dropkick Murphys?
Do you remember when River...
So, like, their first album. Second album was a little bit...
The first album was a little more punk, and then they kind of leaned into the Irish thing.
Yeah, a little too much.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Riverdance was big?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Irish step dancing was taken America by storm. Mm-hmm. That was, like... literally 2 years of my stepmother's life where there was like a crackling sub-rage under all her day-to-day behavior.
I think.
At all times.
And I think Riley, you're right to mention Cinco de Mayo, or as I like to call it, Cinco de Drinko.
Yeah.
You're right to mention that in this conversation. And I think maybe something that is happening is that all of our drinking holidays are tied to something cultural that is now problematic, or something that is, you know, problematic when it's celebrated by people who are not of that culture. So I feel like, can we just institute some new drinking holidays that aren't tied to anything? Well, like,
yeah, because Cinco de Mayo, if you ask most people drinking on Cinco de Mayo what they're even celebrating, they have literally no idea.
Margs, like, baby!
It's Mexican Independence Day!
Margs, guac!
Yeah. That's why, like, when people get really mad about the really nerdy rise of May the 4th Be With You, which, like, I know people find really annoying, I'm all for it. So I'm like, yes, let's have that be the thing we move that weekend's drinking to.
Oh! Let's should we all just get fucked up on Star Wars
Day?
Yes,
let's just have blue milk drinks or whatever and just get... And, like, let's have a thing that
only,
and like, just let's make that a thing. Let's make that the white privilege holiday.
I celebrated May the 4th myself. I went into a bar in my neighborhood.
Mm.
A bartender said, "What'll you have?" I said, "Tea, Earl Grey."
I thought, live long and prosper.
I thought maybe you went to an Empire bar with Empire music playing.
Mm. Like,
can I tell you how bad I am at celebrating a holiday with food and drink associated with it? It was Pi Day recently.
Oh, yeah.
March 14th.
That's fun.
My daughter goes to a math and science engineering-focused school. Mm-hmm. And so they were doing a big Pi Day celebration. So it was it was the talk of the household was that it was going to be Pi Day. She was going to have pie in school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my wife and I had an appointment first thing in the morning, a parent-teacher conference for our middle child. And we got out of that at like 10:30. Find ourselves in Pasadena, California. We realized if we went right then to have lunch, if we had an 11 a.m. lunch, then we're all set. We can eat together like adult human beings, have a nice time, like we love each other. So we went to Pasadena's best restaurant, Pine Burger.
Sure. We all know that.
Yeah.
You didn't need to I mean, is there a restaurant creeping up on it? Yes. And it's that BJ's that's in that building that was formerly a bank, and it's weirdly beautiful inside. You know, the beautiful BJ's.
Jordan, I think all BJ's are beautiful.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that one that's in that bank. Yeah.
So we went and had cheeseburgers, and I ordered a side of potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jordan, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'll eat any amount of potato salad put in front of me.
You've mentioned.
Yeah. And by the time I finished my potato salad, they came back and they offered us pie. And I said, no, that's okay. It was only 11:40 in the morning.
Sure. I'll just take a pint of potato salad to go. I'll eat it between my legs while I drive.
And the woman, the waitress, looked me in the eyes and she said, really? Because it's pie day.
Mm.
And I felt like I had...
Right.
Come into the pie mecca of all Pasadena, California, and just sprayed cake all over everyone.
Like a fucking cake sprayer.
Yeah.
A potato salad cake.
Like it was halftime at an Atlanta Hawks game.
Mm. spraying your cake all over the crowd.
Shooting tennis balls out of a hydraulic cannon.
Oh, boy. You sure you didn't get the pie?
I didn't end up getting the pie. I had eaten too much potato salad. Had I been thinking about it, I'd have left out the potato salad. I'd have had room for pie. I maybe would have got a banana cream pie, which I'm into lately.
Mm, it's a good kind of pie.
It's good.
Cream pies in general, pretty good.
I know.
I'm glad we're kind of on the topic or kind of near the topic of nerd shit.
Finally on Jordan
Jesse Go. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I've, you know, last week on the show, we had a guest. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to invite scorn upon him or more scorn than he's already experienced.
It was the comedian Earthquake.
It was Earthquake, yes. Earthquake came on the show and
shook things up a bit.
Came. Good night, everybody. Ah, thank you, Lorne. The cast. New York City, greatest city in the world. I was doing the end of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, we got it.
Earthquake was here and he really shook things up by coming out as anti-Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the Max Fun Drive, and we're not looking to alienate anybody this time of year. But, you know, we don't want to censor our guests. We love free speech.
Yeah, sure.
Us and Twitter.
Yeah.
We're all about free speech.
Yeah. We got Mike Pompeo coming in next week.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk about his time as a gladiator.
Yeah.
He's got fascinating stories.
It'll bring a giant Q-tip. It'll hit us in the head with it. But we realized that anti-Doctor Who stance probably enraged 90% of the audience.
I mean, it was on an episode where we learned that, what was it, 100 Jordan Jesse Go listeners had fezzes.
Right.
And it was because – it was not because Doctor Who – what you, there's many doctors – from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I don't need to tell you this,
yeah.
Riley Silverman.
Yeah. In case anyone's curious, I am very pro Doctor Who. Is
right.
That why I'm booked on this
and
show?
And I think
that's, we need a pro Doctor Who contingent.
That's kind
to come
of
in?
What. Yeah. Listen, it's not why we booked you, because you're a hilarious comedian and a beloved member of the Max Fun family, but it does not hurt that we have someone who not only is a Doctor Who, I'm going to say, encyclopedia,
yeah.
But also someone who is currently playing Doctor Who on a role-playing
yeah,
podcast.
That's true.
So
one of my three role-playing shows that I'm on right now, and I'm the Doctor, which is ridiculous. Like, that's what my career is now, which is, I'm loving it. But
what was amazing to me about learning about this fez thing,
mm-hmm.
I assumed one of the Doctor Who's wore a fez.
Yeah.
In the way that I know there's one of the Doctor Who's wears a famous scarf.
Yeah.
Riley, what can you tell us about these doctors and these articles of clothing?
Yeah, well, you are correct. One of the doctors definitely wore a scarf. Actually, multiple doctors, but one is the very famous one you're thinking of. And then there's a doctor who occasionally put on a fez as a gag. Like, he wore a bow tie, and he would say, I wear a bow tie because bow ties are cool. And it became a thing where he would occasionally put on a ridiculous item of clothing, like a Stetson or a fez, and say, I wear a Stetson now. Stetsons are cool. I wear a fez now. Fezes are cool. And then they did, like, a quick tie-in to that in the most recent season where the new doctor got a package in the mail from a fictional version of Amazon called Kerblam. And when she opened the package, it was a fez. And the idea was like, oh, it just finally arrived. I ordered this a long time ago, and it just finally found me or whatever. So
this is a good piece of business.
Yeah.
I like that.
So the point of this story is, mm-hmm. this isn't the everyday costume of this one Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, I know that if we said how many people out there have stormtrooper outfits or whatever, mm-hmm. then yeah, it would be a
you
lot of
501,
people.
Exactly.
It'd be a
actually.
Lot of people because all the stormtroopers all wear a stormtrooper outfit all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Except for when the one good guy wore the stormtrooper outfit and he took his hat off.
Sure. We all remember that iconic Star Wars scene.
There is that scene.
No, you're right.
Yeah. It's like one of the heroes of the new trilogy.
No,
so,
you're right.
The guy from Attack the Block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Which the Doctor was in.
There you go.
Jodie Whittaker, the new Doctor, was in that movie.
So the
this is fun.
The point is, this isn't even a thing that even – so there's many Doctor Who's. We're only talking about one of them.
Yeah.
How many Doctor Who's are there? 30?
There are 14 canon ones.
14.
So wait.
14 that
so
have
if we
the,
were
tennis,
going to,
the hydraulic tennis ball yeah. canon.
So if we were going to expand it.
Yeah.
To include doctors who were maybe part of some sort of extended canon.
Yeah.
How many would there
be? Oh, God.
Be?
Off the top of my head, I can go. there's at least probably 19, because there was a sketch that they filmed for the Save the Children thing, the Red Nose special, whatever they yeah. back in like the break in between when the show was off and when it was back on, where they like had a bunch of actors go like successfully through a parody of Doctor Who, where like this like Hugh Grant was in it and Rowan Atkinson was in it, and Joanna Lumley was the 13th Doctor in that one, so she was also the first female Doctor, and so like it went through each one, and like the joke was like the Doctor kept getting killed in the middle of the thing and then would regenerate into a new Doctor.
So wait, so there's a certain kind of Doctor Who fan who considers those all Doctors?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And then there's also, there was an attempt in the 60s to inclusive. Make a movie series out of the TV show when it was still a really new show, and all they did was refilm a serial of the show and put it in color, and then they had, well, I'm blanking on his name now, which is going to make, Peter Cushing from Star Wars, play the Doctor, and he played it like a different, he basically was the first Doctor in a different format, and a lot of people consider Peter Cushing an official Doctor.
Peter Cushing in Star Wars played Grand Mothra.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Grand yes. Mothra. Yes.
So it's one of the Doctor Who's, 1/30th yeah. of the total number of Doctor Who's, and it's an outfit he wears very occasionally
yeah.
as
it's a
joke.
Gag, yeah. And it gets shot off his head by his own wife.
It's not the bow tie.
No.
Apparently, this Doctor Who always wore a bow tie. This yeah. is his signature outfit. So yeah. if you're going to go to a con dressed as this, you're going to bring that bow tie.
Yeah, for sure.
The fez is an optional accessory to one of the 75 different Doctor Whos. We had 100 different people who had one for that reason.
He was a very popular Doctor to cosplay.
And a couple who were like Tiki Bar guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things.
Good job, everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
How does one play the Doctor in a role-playing podcast? I think maybe I don't understand enough about role-playing and how you do it on a podcast. What is that like?
Jordan, I should let you know there's a fantastic role-playing podcast you can listen to right here on the Max Fun mm-hmm. Network called The Adventure Zone.
Have not heard of it.
And, well, it's very popular. You should check it out. It's actually really good. I guess people like it. Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
I only listened to
Not because they stopped doing their Jumbotrons because there wasn't enough people wanting to play for it. Yeah. So that was definitely why.
I only listened to The Daily. To The Daily.
So the way that it works, it's almost just like
honestly,
doing
honestly, you said, what was that? Podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what that is.
Sure. No, that's fine.
What if I don't have an iPod?
Well, you should listen to this show, Serial. It invented this form of communication.
Cool. Great.
So the way you – essentially a role-playing game podcast is almost like doing an improvised podcast. You just are doing it within the realm of having a structure that's based on like a role-playing game. So like mm-hmm. there is a published Doctor Who role-playing game that has rules and like structure to it and has like character sheets you can fill out like you're playing D&D, mm-hmm. but for Doctor Who. And so we have a person on our show. It's actually a Max Fun listener, Ben Patton, who's a big fan of Adventure Zone, which is part of why he got the idea for doing this show. And basically, yeah, we sit around, we record, and he and his co-producer, Michael Nixon, they write a basic framework plot. And then it's myself and two other cast members, Melinda Gross and Dan Peck. And we go through the scenarios and we make our own decisions in the world they create. And then based on what we decide to do, they improvise to kind of keep us following the very framework plot they have.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it Doctor Who world that you're in?
Yes, it's Doctor Who world.
So it's actually Spice and the whole nine
yeah.
yards.
Well, it's yeah. Spice World, actually, that world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
so
cheeky.
We're playing in the
so
fictional
Mark
reality
McKinney
of the
is
film.
There.
Yeah. We're playing within the world of Spice World.
So you're sort of playing mm-hmm. within that world, but you're also, yeah. in a way, playing with that world.
Right. I'm playing sure. the Doctor, but I'm also playing Baby Spice.
Got it. Mm.
It's a scenario where Baby Spice is the Doctor.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds confusing.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't know what podcasts are, I guess it becomes.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pretty much either way, you're going to want Rowan Atkinson in there.
You got to get Rowan in there.
Well, he is in there, but he just doesn't speak ever on the mic. So
there you go.
He's actually playing Mr. Bean. So
he's just a turkey on his head the whole time.
Occasionally, yeah. you all just say, get that turkey off your head, Mr. Bean.
Yeah, we're trying to do sound checks, and he just won't. You can't hear him through it. So
yeah.
Jesse, did you have a dumpling related story? I was guessing by your nickname at the top.
I just ate a lot of pelmeni.
Mmm.
It's like Eastern European, Russian type dumpling.
Right.
There's this grocery store by my house called the Super King.
Mm-hmm.
This grocery store
is
a miracle. Yeah, it is amazing. My wife won't go there because they once double charged her credit card and then wouldn't give her the money back.
Oh.
But that said, if you can make it into the parking lot, Sometimes I accidentally go on coupon day. Mm-hmm. There's like a day when the coupons come out. Mm. And the old lady's fighting for parking spaces is out of control.
Full contact?
There will be – I'm talking about like a line of 15 or 20 cars down the road out of the large parking lot of this supermarket on coupon day because, you know, Pomelo's are 2 for 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an amazing grocery store. I love going to this grocery store, and what I will do is it carries a lot of Near Eastern foods mm-hmm. and a lot of Slavic and Russian and you know the whole you know anything serviced by erotic Istanbul. You know,
okay,
all those trade routes.
Sure, you know some of my favorite routes. Love sailing around the horn.
So, like, if you want ice cream that tastes like a flower.
I do not, but continue.
It's so fucking dope.
One would.
That sounds good.
There's multiple different flower-flavored ice creams.
Just to be clear, you're talking about flowers, like things that bloom, not like flour, like a powdery thing that you use to make bread.
Yeah, yeah. Flour, the stuff that's made out of ground wheat, but you make it into a roux first.
Yeah.
You have to brown it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you enjoy that ice cream.
I went to a place that had famous rose water flavored ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I tried it. Moshti Malone's. Yep. It's a beloved institution.
I went somewhere else.
I tried it. I had a taste, and I'm like, well, you also have peanut butter, so
yeah, that's how I feel always.
I'm glad you have this.
A lot of different
kinds. You were able to do this.
There's some products that there are like rival versions of. Mm-hmm. Each nation has its own. Yogurt is a big one. Mm. There's a big Mimi Pond, past Bullseye guest, cartoonist Mimi Pond, real legendary comics writer. She and Simpsons writer wrote the what's the dog called?
Daddy's Little Helper.
It's Poochie. Yeah. The dog's name is Poochie.
Little Helper. She wrote the Santa's Little Helper episode of The Simpsons. Ooh. Anyway, Mimi did
There's several Santa's Little Helper episodes.
But the one where they get him.
Oh, okay.
The one where they get
the
him.
Christmas,
the first
that's like
season.
The Christmas special. That's like the first episode.
That's a really old one.
Yeah.
She wrote that.
That's great.
But anyway, she...
A classic.
She made a comic once that was just all about just breaking down the yogurt area of the Super King.
Sure.
Because it is an area... I'm going to say approximately 25 feet in length. If you imagine a 25-foot dairy case that's all just different kinds of yogurt, halva is another one.
Sure.
There's a very large halva area and, you know, very intense. And there's a dumpling area.
Mm.
And I'll just go in there and just pick some dumplings out of there. And I got some pelmeni last time I was there.
As far as yogurt goes, I like this brand of yogurt that's spelled F-A-G-E. But I'm afraid that I'll... enter into a situation where I have to say it out loud, and I don't know how.
I think it's Fei, but I think I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't know, and I'm afraid to call it by anything.
Yeah.
When Fage? I would
go, oh, that sounds Fage. Bad to me, too. I don't any way to pronounce Fage? It sounds
I think it's
wrong.
Fei, but yeah. When I went to Super King, I remember it was a thing where, like, friends were going as a group. Like, we're all going to go because only one car could take us all at once because of the parking lot situation. And I remember that the lunch meat counter was so massive, and the way that it worked is, like they had to take a number system, but you would, like, basically take your number and then walk around the store, and they would, like, eventually page you over the system when your number was up because the line for the deli counter was that long.
One good reason to bring multiple people with you to the Super King is so, as in, like, you know, 19th century college football, you can use the strategy where one person carries the ball and everyone else grabs onto their belt and you just barrel through. Because the number of grandmas, all of the world's grandmas are represented at the Super King and they will all hit you.
Mm.
They are not afraid to. I've been hit so many. Throwing bows is the main thing. Grandma's throwing bows is the main thing at this.
Now, were these grandmas or were these Charles Barkleys?
There was one Charles Barkley, as I remember. There was one Charles Oakley.
Mm.
There was one Charles Barkley, shut up and jam Guyden.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
So there was a few different things. There was a couple of American Gladiators.
Mm.
Which was nice. It was those
Turbo.
Those lady gladiators.
Ooh, Diamond.
And Diamond's grandma.
Diamond's grandma, yeah.
Now, are they hitting you because you're mispronouncing yogurts in the aisle that they're from?
They're hitting you because they've got shit to do.
Yeah, they do.
And they don't give a fuck about your not grandma ass. They are trying to get to the yogurt that correlates with the nation of their birth.
Mm.
So they can make their grandchild eat it. And know what it's like to be a real blank,
I feel like if you, with your distinct look, like if you went in there, all you'd have to do is wear like a beanie or a ski cap and just look dour the whole time you're in there. And they would just think that you belong there as part of their culture.
It just seem
that you're from.
Murderous.
Yeah.
Just seem like I have a potential for violence.
Have you thought about it?
Seem like you fled at something back in the home country.
I've been traumatized.
You don't even speak the whole time.
Traumatized look. Potentially traumatized look.
Yeah, you never ask any questions the whole time there because you want to convey that you're just like the quiet type.
Yeah.
Because you have too much in your mind.
Have you thought about maybe going full grandma when you go?
Oh, that's
talking
fun.
Talking bonnet. Flower dress, cane.
So you're imagining
ear horn that you hold up to your ear when you need to hear something.
You're imagining like a grandma from like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I mean, just like a
or Mama's Family,
or literally the bad wolf in the Red Riding Hood story.
Yes,
waiting in bed for the kid to
come. Yeah, have you thought about going false wolf?
I feel like honestly,
real wolf, false grandma.
Excuse me.
If you put me in the wolf's grandma outfit. Mm-hmm. I would look about the same as the wolf looks in that outfit.
That is actually,
I kind of got an overbite and a big beard.
We actually kind of hit a point.
I'm always salivating, and everyone looks like a fully dressed turkey to me.
You often go to bars in pinstripe suits and just whistle at women. So.
Yeah.
We also actually kind of hit upon the text of my personal ad. I'm a false grandma looking for a daddy's little helper. Thank you.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Rowdy Silverman, Doctor Who encyclopedia.
Sound a little bit like you said Rowdy Silverman, which I think is also very fun.
Well, I am wearing a shirt that says Hot Rods. So.
Do you know the first name of the director that directed Roadhouse is Rowdy?
Is it really?
What?
Yes. His name is like Rowdy Phillips or something.
Do you think – here's a theory that I'm just going to float out.
Rowdy Harrington, sorry.
Do you think Hank Williams Jr. Was specifically referring to the director of Roadhouse when he said all my rowdy friends?
Right. He meant the director of Roadhouse and Riley.
Yeah.
And Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And Rowdy Roddy Piper,
which,
of course.
That sounds like a pretty epic party.
Yeah. Three great rowdies.
We came there to chew bubblegum and party, and we were all out of bubblegum.
Sure. You were only left with one option. To party.
Speaking of parties, it's the annual Max Fun Party known as the Max Fun Drive.
Yeah.
Woo. I'm excited about it.
I am too. A lot of fun stuff happening these couple of weeks.
You know, sometimes on Jordan Jesse Go, we talk about, we like allude to the fact that Maximum Fun is audience supported network, or this is an audience supported show. But that actually is the honest truth of what is actually the case. Like, we have an advertisement on Jordan Jesse Go sometimes. We like to get them. We limit them strictly, but we like to have them on from time to time. But that really isn't what pays our bills here. What pays our bills here is all of the members of MaximumFun.org, people just like you.
Yeah, and if you give a little bit every month to support this show and all the other great shows on the network, The Adventure Zone, which we mentioned, which I only heard of for the first time during that last segment.
I still haven't heard of it.
And, of course, Riley's show,
Troubled Waters,
yeah. Formerly International Waters. All these great shows exist because people go to MaximumFun.org/donate and give a little bit every month. And not only do you get a great feeling from knowing that you're kind of helping independent artists to make their shows without, corporations butting in. But you also get a lot of cool stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So, but yeah, right now we just kind of wanted to come on and talk about why it is so awesome if you would want to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and support.
I am pretty sure, Jordan.
Yes.
Lindsay Pavlis, who is one of our employees here at Maximum Fun, sitting out there. I think Jordan Jesse Go has the highest membership rate of any Maximum Fun show.
That's right. Gosh
out of
darn
the
it.
40-ish shows in Maximum Fun. I think that Jordan Jesse Go has the – she's nodding yes. Mm-hmm. The highest rate of membership.
So of the 10 listeners, 5 support?
Yes.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Well, they did until that Fez thing happened last week.
Oh, yeah, sure. Now, right, yeah. When
coming over troubled waters, we're very pro-Fez.
When Earthquake came in here and badmouthed Doctor Who.
Which, by the way, if you listen to the show, we're very half and half because Dave Holmes, not a fan of Doctor Who, and does not always love it when Jean-Luc Roberts and I love to slip in Doctor Who jokes throughout the show.
So, hey, yeah, if you go to MaximumFun.org/donate, there's a lot of levels you can donate at depending on how much spare cash you have laying around. There's $5
Jordan,
a month.
Jordan, before you list the levels,
yes.
Can I just pitch a round to Riley?
Sure.
It's you and Jean-Luc's things that you're into and Dave's things that he's into. As a round, it's called Doctor Who or Husker Du.
Oh, I love it.
That may actually make it to the show, and I will credit you for that.
Thank
that comes
you.
In.
Thank you
That's
very
solid.
Much.
Solid. Yeah, so basically you can give $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, all the way up to $200 a month if you're feeling soups generous. But yeah, I think kind of what Max Fun has is kind of a backwards Netflix where you know, we put all the stuff out for free, and if people like it, then they can give a little bit a month to support it. So it's, you know, we're kind of operating on good faith here, hoping that people like the shows, they care about them, and they want them to keep going.
I mean, I kind of think – I don't want to speak out of school.
Sure.
I kind of think that Doctor Who or Husker Du is worth the full $200.
I think so.
But in all sincerity, like the reason that we do it this way is because we want everybody to be able to listen to all of our shows.
Yeah.
And we also don't want to be dependent on advertising to keep the lights on. Advertising is a cruel and mercurial and sometimes annoying and interrupty master.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird metaphor that was, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah,
advertising is a tough way to make a living, and what ends up happening when you are reliant on advertising is that you have to make a lot of compromises on the month where you didn't sell as many ads as you thought you were going to sell, but you still have the same rent.
Yeah.
And the fact that literally thousands and thousands of Jordan Jesse Go fans just like you have become members of Maximum Fun by going to MaximumFun.org/donate is what allows us to have the kind of bedrock of funding that lets us make this show every week. And as we have for... what now? Over 800 years. Is that right, Jordan?
It's about that.
Lindsay is
not
an employee.
Years.
She's
not.
Back when there was
800.
Only one Doctor Who.
Yeah, right. The first Doctor, the first episode of Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, this show, we love doing that. It and we super duper love the fans out there. But yeah, and I think the fans and the people who donate are the reason that this show still happens. I mean, I don't think it's exaggerating to say that this show not only doesn't help our careers, but probably hurts it.
Yeah, that's true.
I
often actively fear that someone will listen to this show.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I definitely haven't hired both of you because of things you've said on this show.
With good reason. Yeah. So, I mean,
it was on TaskRabbit, but still.
Please, let me build your IKEA bookcase, please.
You just said you drink during the day, so I'm not going to book you.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I'll even go this far. Like, I am a listener who became part of the Max Fun family, and also Christian Duenas, who was the producer of Troubled Waters, a listener of the network who became a member of the family. Like, that's – you guys definitely are big at, like, bringing members of your listening crew. Like, you build a family with this network.
We met Riley when Riley called in a momentous occasion, like, 10 years ago, and then she came on the show as a guest, like, 7 years later or something, and – she was like, after the show, she was like, you know, do you remember that momentous occasion I called in all those years ago? And we were like, nope.
Yeah. That happened on the air. That happened on the show.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. No, go back and listen. That was a great episode.
That was a different name back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely like the reason that we show up every week and the reason that, you know, Brian's out there, you know, producing and editing the show is because of you. Like, there's not a good reason to do this show other than people like it. So, you know, we're not doing it to further our careers. We're not doing it because we have some grand design for it. We just do it because it's fun for us and people like it. And people go to MaximumFun.org/donate and support it because, yeah, so when you do that, you're saying it's important to me that you guys show up every week. You book a cool guest. Brian gets in there and you guys put out a show for me. So, yeah, and that's a very cool reason to do something. And I really, really appreciate people doing that. It feels great.
When you go to MaximumFun.org/donate and become a member of Maximum Fun, it's important to remember that the money that you are paying to be a member really goes to the shows that you listen to. It's a pretty simple thing. You go to what's called a personal computer.
Mm-hmm.
Go to MaximumFun.org/donate using a web or internet browser. The World Wide Web is the latest. I mean, Jordan, you're probably more of a gopher man.
Of course. I love it.
But you go to
– Alta Vista fan myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. You're a web head just like me. I love to surf.
Of course.
Maximum,
going online.
You go to MaximumFun.org/donate. You pick at what level you want to become a member. Well, again, from $5 a month all the way up to $200. And then you tell us what shows you listen to. We take a little bit of – Maximum Fun takes a little bit of that money to pay for the drive, pay for Lindsay to have a job, to pay for us to send out thank you gifts and so on and so forth, pay rent on this studio and so on. And then the significant majority of that money just is divided among the shows that you listen to and goes directly to those shows. So this is like the most direct path to supporting any media that you consume in your entire media life. I promise you.
Yeah. And it's not just about – like, yeah, the $200 membership levels are amazing. But even the $10, the $25, the $35 a month, like that little bit can do a lot of good for the shows. Like, if you add up a lot of listeners who are all putting that level in, that's great. And if you're already listening, like, we love you. And we're so glad you're already doing it. And we're so glad you're already donating at MaximumFun.org/donate. But if you increase your donation a little bit like this year, that would be a huge help for us, and it also gets you back into unlocking all those features and stuff that we give away every year.
The main thing that means a lot to me, and I mentioned Jordan, that Jordan Jesse Go out of all of the shows on Maximum Fun has the highest rate of membership. The thing that really means a lot to me is that those people decided to like it's a little bit of a hassle. It's a few bucks a month. You probably won't miss a few bucks a month for most of us, but it's still a few bucks a month. It's annoying to go to MaximumFun.org/donate, type in your credit card number or whatever. But those people said, I want to stand up and support this thing. So no matter what the level is that you're participating at, what really means a lot to us is that you are participating. It's like – it really is a huge difference as somebody who – you know, as three people who work in the entertainment industry, both here and elsewhere, I know for me it means a lot that I work directly for the people who listen to this show. I don't work for Universal, who then are basically working for Procter & Gamble, who are trying to sell people, Swiffer pads. Mm-hmm. I work directly for the people who
like
the
Jesse
show.
Thorne don't reflect all the guests on the show who may, in fact, work for Universal.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting.
I should mention, I just took a side job at Swiffer.
Yeah.
I'm their head of original content.
Oh, and I actually am now tending bar at the Jimmy Buffett's Margarita Bowl at City Walk, which is part of Universal Studios.
Right.
There you go.
So.
Yeah, great. Come by. It's 2 o'clock somewhere. That's what we say. So definitely if you want to learn about some of the cool stuff that you can get for donating, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Or you can go to MaximumFun.org/donate and check out some of it there. I'll say right now, bonus episodes for miles.
Oh, so many.
Yeah. I mean, if you just want to look at it as I am paying a little bit each month for a buttload of bonus content, and judging by the butt plug related calls we get in momentous occasions. I know that you folks are familiar with butt loads.
Well, if you're a big fan of butt loads, I should tell you the Troubled Waters bonus episode this year is erotic fan fiction written by myself and John Luke Roberts and read by celebrities from the Max Fun family.
Yeah, so. I personally read a slash fiction a short story that John Luke wrote about Sonic the Hedgehog going to town on the Minions.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org/donate, the only way to hear that.
That's what they call a closer, Jordan. Yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. Love you, love you. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Bradley Silverman, Doctor Who enthusiast.
Guess what, friends? We've got another friend joining us here for the momentous occasions.
Two friends.
Wait, who's not friends among the four people?
Me and you.
Enemies.
She is a full-time employee of Maximum Fun, where her title is... relations coordinator, something.
Member and network relations. Specialist.
Cool.
Executive. She is, of course, one of the stars of Brian and Lindsay Will Totally Eat That, the smash hit video series that took the internet by storm. She is. She got an 800 on the verbal SAT.
Yes,
hey,
I did.
Pretty good.
Lindsay Pavlis.
Hey, friends. Pleasure being in here with you.
She did very well on the math SAT as well, but not in a full 800.
No.
Lindsay, when I visit the office, I always like to chat with you a little bit. But since I haven't been into the office lately, I'll ask you on mic, what video games are you playing?
Oh, well. I've been dipping my toes into that Apex Legends. Heard of it?
I have heard of Apex Legends. Don't love a battle royale shooter, but I am told it's the hot shit.
I play a lot of Nader Legends.
N-A-D-E-I-R. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Oh, no. I'm changing it. N-A-D-E-R.
Oh, Ralph Nader. Yeah. Right.
You can be Dennis Kucinich.
Uh-huh.
Ralph Nader.
That game is unsafe at any speed.
Yes. I was looking for one of those, but beat me to it. Apex Legends. Still. You know what I love? So the guts of that game is Titanfall 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, cold take, the campaign of that was great.
Yep.
I'm kind of sorry they went in the multiplayer direction.
Yeah, I was one of those
people. For me personally, I know others like it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's fair. I think I was one of those people who was shit-talking. Can I swear on this?
You've heard podcasts before.
What? I was.
Podcast?
I was questioning the decision to take the Titans out of Apex.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's great. It's a very fun game. 10 out of 10 would play again. Except people got really good and I stayed the same amount of shitty.
Yeah.
And now it's not very fun.
I think that's why I don't like those games, is that I just cannot get good enough.
Apex Legends the same as that other? Is that the same kind of thing as the other one that people like? You know how everybody likes that one video game with the dances that keep getting sued?
Yes. Yeah, Fortnite. Yeah,
Fortnite.
I think that's what you're talking about.
The one
about.
That children and baseball players like.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Professional now, baseball players.
Now, what is Alfonso Ribeiro's beef with Apex Legends? Does he have one?
I couldn't say.
The Apex Legend beef is with Trudy from, what was that show called? Facts of Life.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's fun.
Thank you, Trudy from Facts of Life. Well, I don't know if you were listening to last week's program, Lindsay, but we started with how many Jeopardy contestants listen to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Sure.
It turns out it's more than 10.
Yeah.
Then we said.
And two of them are going up against each other in Jeopardy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Are they really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So.
Then we said to ourselves, well, how many Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners own a Fez? Not a costume shop Fez, a real Fez. Turned out way more than were Jeopardy contestants.
Makes sense.
So last week on the program, my friend Jordan Morris, mm-hmm. Native of Orange County, California, this will come into play in a moment,
sure.
Asked, how many so-called drug rugs are owned by Jordan Jesse Go listeners, or how many Jordan Jesse Go listeners have owned drug rugs, which is to say the type of ponchos worn by stoned white dudes who are on their way to go surfing in Baja.
Do you not think that's more of a San Francisco thing, the drug rug?
I think that is a Southern California thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that is a classic Southern California thing.
So I guess I'm thinking...
like a Pendleton shirt.
I think I maybe described it wrong as a poncho. I think what I'm thinking of is that sweatshirt.
I'm Googling drug rug because I want to know what this is to have it.
Do you kind of know what I'm talking about? There's the hoodie made of the poncho material.
Oh, yeah. I know that sweatshirt,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's definitely something that hippies wear, but it's also definitely something that surfers wear.
Sure. Yeah.
Surfer dudes.
I think
I would say, in my experience, 70-30 surfer dudes versus hippies.
Yeah, well, I think we can agree that there's an intersection of kind of chill white guys.
Jack Johnson. The Jack Johnson nexus.
Yeah, and I think that is, and I think, you know, region aside, it is a California thing.
Yeah, it's where Jack Johnson meets Michael Fronte.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Having looked at it now and knowing what it looks like, I definitely had one of those, but at an age where it was way too young for me to associate with any sort of drug culture. Like, it was definitely like this is a cool thing people on TV wear. I'm going to get one of these things. I think I had it, like, in fifth or sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And you went by a cool person from TV. You mean Manny the Hippie from the David Letterman show when he went to San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely, I did.
And by cool, you mean Diggity Dank.
Yeah. Or Cody from Step by Step.
That's probably what I was thinking of at the time.
Probably
yeah.
somebody who owns a drug rug.
That's probably exactly who inspired me to get one. I want the thing Cody has. He's cool.
Sure.
Brian, I probably should have asked you if you knew this information beforehand, but do you remember what we predicted in terms of numbers last week on the program?
No. Hold on one sec, but I can find it.
Oh, so maybe while Brian is looking that up, we can get a little reading from Riley and Lindsay on this. So... do you think, knowing what you do about Jordan Jesse Go, Riley, you've been on the show a couple times. Lindsay, you've been on the show, and you certainly have heard of the show.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think we will have more fezzes or more drug rugs in the audience?
Here's my question. Are we talking of all time or currently owning drug rugs?
I think we opened it up to all time, didn't
we? Yeah.
If we're opening up to all time, I'm going to say drug rugs outnumber fezzes. But people might not admit to it as freely as fezzes.
Okay.
I'm going to say fezzes 110%. Wait. What were the parameters on fezzes? Like,
the parameters of fezzes were it has to be a real fez. So it has to be either a real Shriner fez or a real North African fez.
Oh, shit.
Like no costume shop fezzes.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to change my answer.
Yeah, and you can't be an organ grinder's monkey.
Yeah.
Because we don't allow them to listen to the show.
Yeah.
We think it's unnatural.
You're upsetting a big contingent of possible Max Fun members.
Also, frankly, it's cruel to train them to listen to the show by giving them grapes.
Brian, do you have those numbers?
I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I do remember at least one, maybe two of you guys were above fezzes, and our fez number was pretty high.
Yeah, I think drug rug beats fez. I think we, in our audience, I think we have some Doctor Who cosplayers, but I also think we have a lot of people who are into jam bands in the 90s, Dave Matthews Band, Fish, String Cheese Incident. I think these are places where you get a drug rug, places where you wear a drug rug. I think that the drug rug community are big supporters of the show, and I think they're going to come out for us today.
Yeah. this is machine politics at its finest.
Yeah, grassroots.
Got to identify interest groups and start pandering.
Now, I mean, I think maybe there could be an issue here that there are people who have drug rugs that are listening, but can't get their shit together to call it. That might affect turnout. Again, like politics, it's all about turnout.
Jordan
Whereas
is running.
Like, Doctor Who fans are willing to be vocal at any drop of a hat about anything they can be.
That's
we
true.
Can be.
You're right. You're right.
Jordan, just so you know, Lindsay is running for president with the slogan "All Dank, No Swag."
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the one to.
He actually had to initiate litigation when Beto O'Rourke chose that as his slogan.
He skateboards, you know.
Yeah. I think I'm sticking with fezzes. I was so astonished that there were like 100 Fez calls, that I'm sticking with Fez's for my... Now, this may be different from what I said last week. And if it is, well, you know, stick it up your nose. Brian, how many people called in to say they owned or had owned a drug rug?
Yeah, okay. So I put them into categories. We got...
Thank God.
Thank you.
Four people.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of taxonomic concerns here.
Yeah. Four people who had gotten them from, like, Mexico, officially, like, their parents brought them back.
Right.
Four people specifically who went on a surf trip and got it on a surf trip.
Yeah, that's great. That's the way to do it.
One guy who has, like, nine of them and goes to Burning Man every year with and rotates them out exclusively at Burning Man.
Well, you can't show up to Burning Man in the same drug rug you wore last year.
Yeah.
How gauche.
One guy who bought it thinking it was a blanket.
Okay. Yep.
That's what happened to me, Lindsay. I own a poncho that I believed was a blanket when I purchased it.
That sounds like me, too.
And then three, a surprisingly strong showing for the category of my straight-laced mom bought it for me, not realizing it was a drug thing. And then 24, just kind of general, I have one. So
sounds like Fez is...
Yeah, it was 36 total, and we actually got 9 additional Fez calls this week.
Wow. So. I'm going to say Brian kind of tipped the hat, the Fez hat, literally, when he said, like, some of you said more than Fez, but keep in mind, we got a lot of Fez calls. Like, I felt like that was, like, a way of, like, that's why I didn't change my answer. I'm like, I feel like I'm getting unfair information now at this point.
I think this is the problem. I think Riley hit upon it, which is a Doctor Who fan has a certain shamelessness, a certain pride, the famous flip side of the coin of shamelessness.
Yeah. The not pejorative.
Yeah. That leads them to call in, as does the person who ironically owns a Shriner's Fez, such as our Generation X Tiki Dads. And for that reason, I think that response rate was probably much higher as a proportion of the audience. I do have a proposal.
Please.
And I think I've got the thing that can beat Fez's.
Okay, what do you got?
This was suggested by a Jordan Jesse Go listener on Twitter. Now, do I remember who it was? No, I don't. I don't take notes or prepare for this show. However, I think it is basically solid gold. How many Jordan Jesse Go listeners have worn bowling shoes not to bowl?
Wow. Ooh. I mean, at least half the hosts. I mean, it's been a topic on the show before. I had a bowling shoe phase in high school. I mean, that might do it.
I strongly considered it.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have the rebel gene necessary to bring to steal bowling shoes from the bowling alley. Felt bad about it.
I bought them. There was a store that was kind of by my high school.
John Waters' store from The Simpsons.
Yes, John Waters' store from The Simpsons. I bought a wind up robot and some old campaign buttons. It was a store. It was kind of like a head shop, but they also had a couple crates of CDs and, you could get bondage pants there, those kind of plaid pants with the straps that go between. And yeah, they had a little box of bowling shoes out one day. So that's where I got mine. I did not swipe them, but I think that's normally how people, when people were wearing casual bowling shoes, that's where they came from.
But were they fenced bowling shoes, do you think? Like someone stole them.
Fell off a truck type situation?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
They came directly from a bowling alley and were sold to this guy's job. Question for you about your bowling shoes.
Please.
Were the ones that you bought to wear in public, did they actually have some sort of grip to the bottom? Or were they flat like it would be in the alley?
No, they were slick and it caused me to fall down a lot in public.
Okay.
So,
because I had a pair of Vans that were they looked like bowling shoes. They were leather and they had the exact coloring of them, but they had a grip. They had an actual sole.
I would slip and fall when I was on tile.
Did you literally slip and fall?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot.
Did you go yoink as you fell?
Yeah. But I mean, I think I was in a phase where I was doing it all for look at me reasons, so I liked it.
I mean, you were deeply committed to your art. and mm-hmm. your art was being a fun guy in high school.
Sure, yeah.
You know what? You're right. You are less fun now than you were
in
high school.
I'm far less
fun. You are correct.
God, I was so fun in high school.
So
I was fun.
I think more Jordan Jesse Go listeners mm-hmm. have worn bowling shoes for non-bowling purposes. And I'm not talking about you just wore them to the bowling alley, but you put them on at 11 a.m. and you were leaving the house and you just were like, well, I'm not going to be back at the house. So I'll just put them on now and I'm bowling tonight. I'm talking about wearing them as a fashion item mm-hmm. or anti-fashion item, as the case may be. I think we could break 150 on this.
And to be clear, these are legit bowling shoes, not street shoes in the style of bowling shoes.
Like my bullshit shoes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. But they don't have to have been stolen from a bowling
alley. Okay.
They, if you went and bought bowling shoes because you wanted to be the junior version of a tiki dad, then that's acceptable to me.
Okay.
If you went to a bowling pro shop, or even if you went to the Nordstrom Rack, or you you went to Play It Again Sports.
I love that you spit-taked on Nordstrom Rack.
I'm a big fan.
It's the best Nordstrom.
Really? I was going to say bowling shirts, then I realized you don't have the manpower right now to answer that many phone calls.
No. Yeah, also, bowling shirts. Honestly, I don't think bowling shoes are beating Fez.
Really?
I did not. I mean, I think I...
I'm talking about through life, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I did not. I mean, I'm just going by, you know, personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, when I was cavorting in scenes where people were doing ironic kind of throwback retro dress-up stuff.
When you say in scenes, you mean in short-form improv scenes.
Yes, it's short-form improv. That is the scene of short-form improv. I definitely saw fezzes out. I saw bowling shirts. I saw a lot of gas station shirts. I definitely was on the lookout for bowling shoes because I had them and I did not see a lot. I don't think it was a thing.
Well, it's probably hard to black out a scene if you don't have the grip on the shoes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. I think it was a thing, but I don't think it. I don't know. I think Fez had a moment. I think a Fez is iconic. I think bowling shoes was a blip.
Did you have numbers in the back of your shoes?
I did. Yeah, I had the size. Yeah. So,
Lindsay, what do
you interested. Think? I'm interested to see.
You know, I don't think I know anyone who ever voluntarily wore. That's the word. Mm-hmm. Bowling shoes outside the context of a bowling alley. You're self-accepted, Jordan.
Sure.
Can I throw a real quick curveball into the mix?
Yeah.
For the ladies out there, butterfly clips.
Oh, do you think we've had more butterfly? Yeah, we certainly have more butterfly clips than we do have fezzes.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Oh, yeah, I think so for sure. I have some at home right now. Like, I still have some.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They look great.
They do. They're fun. It looks like a bug landed on your head.
Yeah. Let's see what happens with bowling shoes. I'm curious. Yeah. I am ready to be proven wrong, but I don't think we're beating Fez.
Like your head
shoes.
Is made out of flowers or feces.
True.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sticking with Fez because I just went to a Doctor Who convention last month, mm-hmm. and many, many people there knew who I was because of my involvement with Max Fun. That is not a lie.
I think what we're going to have to do with this is not pick something that was attached to like a music scene, but I think the thing that is making Fez unbeatable is we're getting that cosplay boost. I think we need to find something that's like that. But I am curious about the bowling shoe thing. I genuinely want to know.
Music scene, so maybe like Faygo, like something that have you sprayed Faygo at
yes.
the band?
Yes. Have you been injured by a t-shirt cannon at the Gathering of the Juggalos? Yeah. But I'm curious. I'm ready to hear.
I think next up I'm gonna. I don't mean to. I think I might ask how many people have eaten an It's a Kadoozie.
Sure.
It's a type of popsicle.
Honestly, I think the only thing that's taken down Fez is a Harry Potter school robe. I think if we want to take down Fez, we need to bring out the big guns, and those guns are Harry Potter school robes.
That's three things you've mentioned in this conversation that I have owned at some point in my life or currently own, so yes.
And Riley is a stand-up. Riley can't even blame her sketch comedy costume band.
No. Yeah. No, I just wore it to the park.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Riley Silverman, Time Lord.
Lindsay Pavlis, influencer.
She is, folks.
Right.
She is, folks.
Early adopter.
She's appeared on the hit video cast Candy Crushers.
I haven't, actually.
You've never been on Candy Crushers?
Well, I haven't been invited yet.
Wow.
What's Candy Crushers?
Wow.
Candy Crushers is probably Max Fun's sister series, we'll call it, most beloved. Stacey Molsky, Daniel Baruela?
Baruela, yeah.
Crushing candy for the camera.
Two of our employees have their own video show that's not technically part of Max Fun.
Sure.
Where it's on Instagram, and they squish candy, and it's 1 minute long, and they just say, do we think this is going to squish? And they say, I don't know, maybe. And the other one says, yeah, I think so. And then they try and squish it, and then they see if it squishes.
Sounds like a goddamn blast.
It's fucking tremendous.
Lindsay,
I'm
sorry you can't get
time.
That booking.
It's okay.
Jeez.
You guys should do a meetup where they squish the candy, and then you and Brian decide if you will totally eat that.
After it's been squished?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That'll attract a demographic, I think.
When something momentous happens to you, like Lindsay, when you finally get invited to appear on Candy Crushers,
oh, God.
We ask you to call us at 206-9844-FUN or email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org for our segment Momentous Occasions. Here is our first such occasion now.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from New York. Just had a momentous occasion inside of a Barnes & Noble where a group of old men were sitting down talking. And one decided to list his inventions, and one of which was carbonated milk. And then he proceeded to talk about his idea for a smoke detector that lets you sleep for another 10 minutes and a light bulb that only shines on stuff you want to see. So that's my momentous occasion. Love you guys. Thanks.
Oh, wow.
Fuck.
Wow.
Oh, fuck.
Shut it down.
Was that Clark Griswold he was sitting next to?
Yeah. I really like the brick and mortar bookstore is really creeping closer and closer now that it's, you know, it's on its way toward obscure or obsolete, I guess I should say.
There's a weird thing happening, though, where the reverse is happening where the Barnes & Nobles are going out of business, but now the small mom-and-pop bookstores are starting to have like a re-cinch, like they're getting back on the market.
That's definitely worth mentioning. Yeah. But yeah, definitely the big, you know, the big chain bookstore, your Borders, your Barnes & Nobles.
Your Fox Books.
Your Crown Books. Guys, they're still around.
I hate to sound like a hipster, but I feel like the more people talk about digital books and e-books, the more I just want to read books on vinyl.
Sure. Yes.
Warmer right. tone.
Yeah, warmer it's warmer.
I think because I've been in a few chain bookstores and like, you know, and I think that, you know, in their heyday, it was a place where you could like bring kids to let them kill a little bit of time. I think my parents definitely did that with me. They definitely just kind of let me run around in a bookstore for a while.
You just head straight for that magazine section and grab a murder dog.
Sure. Yeah. Or a lowrider magazine.
Yeah. It used to be the only place that I could actually find a physical copy of The Onion was in the book. Like,
totally.
Barnes & Noble.
But yeah, I think now more and more they are kind of intersecting with public libraries as a place where, like, an old man can go to talk loudly.
Yeah.
And sleep sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes just sleep.
I used to love Barnes & Noble when I was a traveling road comic because I would go to their cafe to write. It was because I didn't have Google Drives back then, so it was like I wanted to sit and write but didn't want to be on the internet distracted by stuff, and I would just sit and write. And
oh, yeah.
That was great.
Sure. Great bathrooms in those places, too.
Yes, that was also why I love it as well.
Love to dump in a Borders. Love to dump.
You know, it's been a long time since I worked at a Borders. I did work at a Borders for a time. I would imagine that I think Borders is out of business now, but Barnes & Noble, I think they're probably still selling primarily copies of The Purpose-Driven Life. Mm. That was my experience at the time, and I believe that it is likely still the case.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, these sound like great inventions. Carbonated milk.
Yeah.
Smoke detector that lets you sleep for it, like a snooze alarm.
And
a spotlight, which literally exists already.
Right.
A flashlight that shines on things you only want to look at.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, LaCroix and other kinds of, like, seltzer are huge. Why not expand that into dairy?
Yeah. I mean, I like a good egg cream.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe that's just what this guy was describing. Maybe he was missing a day when you could go to the old soda fountain and get a
phosphate.
Get a nice phosphate.
I'm into it.
Something like that.
Well, let's take another call.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. This is Emily calling from Michigan with a momentous occasion. In 2017, I started listening to JJ Go when my fiance was out of town because I couldn't listen to new episodes of any of the podcasts we listened to together. And I started with episode one because I really wanted to fully
understand
puppies.
Can you pause this for a second,
puppies.
Brian? This, we have finally found a way, Jordan. We've been doing this show for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And we've struggled that whole time with the fact that the show is not recommendable. Mm-hmm. That it's not something you would want to, could, or should tell someone else about, which is the primary form of internet advertising, is that sort of word of mouth.
Right.
People tend to keep this show their own dirty little secret.
Right. Something they're embarrassed to listen to with a loved one.
This is
lest
like,
that loved one start to think less of them.
This is the podcast equivalent of your mom's vibrator. It's assiduously hidden in a drawer somewhere and only taken out when everybody's out of town.
Or eating at Carl's Jr. Not going to do it with anybody.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
Yeah. But this is our growth opportunity. If you have a spouse and you listen to podcasts together, mm-hmm. This is like my beautiful wife, Teresa, would watch the Gilmore Girls without me. She watched all the Gilmore Girls because I was ambivalent about the Gilmore Girls and she liked it. Mm. And, you know, she needed a show to watch while she was doing the dishes when I was away or whatever it is. You know, like she needed one casual show that we didn't share together because almost all our TV watching is together. And this show could be that. Mm-hmm. This could be Mommy's Little Secret. The special thing, like, that turns our biggest weakness that mm-hmm. no one wants to tell each other about the show into our biggest strength. It's the perfect secret show to listen to, you know, while the goose is away, the gander will play.
Right.
So you're thinking we can have, like kind of like sex toy parties, but like secret, like, let me tell you about Jordan Jesse Go parties.
Yeah, and everybody will get a kick out of it in like a saucy way. They'll be like, no one else is going to like this but you.
Yeah, pour some mimosas.
Yeah.
There's no premise. It's hard to explain.
And
pretty intense.
And
earthquake
sometimes.
Rag on Doctor Who.
And when someone cancels last minute, they get Steve Agee.
The supporting actor on Superstore? Okay, press play.
And I started with episode one because I really wanted to fully understand puppies and what they were when they came up. 6 months ago, I found out my fiancé had been lying to me throughout much of our relationship, and I had to leave. And listening to episodes of JJ Go during any moment of mental downtime got me through those first couple months. That and the knowledge and telling myself that surely by the time Tuppies come up, I will feel happy again. Today I was unpacking in the condo that I just purchased. Down payment came from money that was set aside for our wedding. And Tuppies came up, and wouldn't you know it, I am happy again. Thank you so much to you, to the Max Fun Network, and the community that surrounds it for getting me through what I hope has been the toughest time of my life and helping me become happy again. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And thanks for making us feel bad about that jokey diversion. that is very nice to hear. God, sorry to hear about your crummy relationship, what have you.
But
got a sweet condo out of the deal.
every coin has two sides. So on the one side, a tough relationship situation. On the other side, she found out that it was what you, Jordan, called the Tupperwares that you would keep in the cabinet at work.
Yeah. So surprise. Yeah. It's kind of a letdown.
Bonus surprise. Imagine her delight when she finds out the episode that her call was played on is the same episode that beloved one-time Memphis occasion Riley Silverman called in.
Yeah.
She probably heard that episode in the last 2 years and is now like, oh my God, it all came full circle.
Full circle, yeah. This is a real prestige here. Yeah.
Riley, without you, she wouldn't even have a condo.
You're right. You are right. I was her broker.
But I definitely kind of feel where this caller is coming from. I definitely like in hard times when, you jump in your car to fucking go somewhere you don't really want to go, or you're, just kind of searching for something to play when you're around the house. And like when that favorite podcast comes up, it's definitely always a great feeling. Like I have a couple of shows.
The
Daily, which is the only show I listen to. I just listen to Daily and Serial. Mm-hmm. But no, I think I talked a little bit about this last year as I kind of had a kind of a rough end of last year and, kind of had this really just – drive home to visit family that I did not want to do and, was just kind of feeling shitty about it the whole way. And when I got in my car, the new episode of The Flophouse came up and I was like, shit, like, I don't want to be doing this, but I get to spend an hour with three of the funniest dudes in history. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it felt great. So I definitely like really it is very nice to hear that our show can do that for people because I know what shows like that do for me. And it's awesome, and it's definitely like a big reason why we do this is hearing people say that, yeah, the show is important. It's just kind of, goofy nonsense, but it helps when, you want to take your mind off the shitty parts of the world. So it's nice to know that people appreciate the goofy nonsense, and it occupies a nice space in their brain.
I just want to thank Backstory with the American History guys.
Sure, yeah.
Just those three guys, their kind of zany takes on American history, but also in depth.
Yeah.
Have gotten me through a lot of tough times.
So, I haven't heard of that.
My non-jokey example, like you're with Flophouse, like I, listening to, I mentioned up the Adventure Zone earlier, the reason why I brought it up is because last year I went through a really rough time with issues with, I had a bad breakup and I had issues with trying to get my surgery approved and fighting, like, and it got delayed 2 months and all that kind of stuff. And that's when I was binging through the entire first arc of that show. And there was some like really heavy emotional moments in that show. And it was like kind of nice to have this outlet to cry along to while also like laughing 10 minutes later. And like, it was like a really good emotional thing, like a journey to go on.
Lindsay, do you like podcasts?
They're fine. I'm a big fan of...
You're a standardized test girl.
Yeah. Like, normally, I just go into Candy Crushers, and that just gets me through my day.
The way Stacey and Daniel crush those candies, or don't crush
really
those candies.
It. It's like crushing the things in her life that make her angry.
Oh, okay. It's symbolic.
No, I mean, I feel it, too. I feel it, too. You know I do.
Do we want to take a little bit of a break and then come back and talk about what people can get if they sign up to donate in the Max Fund Drive?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Riley Silverman, Time Lord.
Lindsay Pavlis, Chekhov's gun.
It's about to go off in here.
Bang.
Shit's about to go off.
We mentioned it in the first segment, and it's going to go off by the last segment.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Note to self, edit in us mentioning it in the first segment.
All right, here's the deal. Go to MaximumFund.org/donate and become a member of Maximum Fund. There are levels for everybody from $5 a month up to $200 a month, but we're really focused on getting you to go and become a member of MaximumFund.org. We only do this once a year. We only do it for two short weeks. It is a good old time, but it is also the time. Now is the time. And the good news is that if you become a member of MaximumFund.org, you get to get stuff. So, for example, every single person who becomes a monthly member of MaximumFun.org, I'm talking about $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, $35 a month, whatever level, you get access to over 100 hours of bonus episodes of Maximum Fun shows.
Breaking news, Jesse.
Yeah. It's
actually... Hold on. It's a news break. I heard the signature news music.
That gun just went off, y'all.
It's actually over 200 hours.
Wow.
Stacy did the math. It's over 200 hours.
See, that's why Pavlis is here.
Yeah. You weren't technically right about being over 100.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It's even more.
I mean, when you consider that just this episode of Jordan Jesse Go is over 100 hours.
Yeah. Right?
Mostly all in that interruption in the middle of that call.
Right. So we actually, every year, every show makes a bonus episode that only donors get to hear, and they all go into a big bank with a bunch of other stuff, some short films, a bunch of cool bonus members-only stuff. And, yeah, and you get to listen to it when you donate, not just that year's stuff, but also all the previous year's stuff, too. If you're on the fence about, you know, where your money's going, if you just want 200 plus hours of really, really hilarious, cool stuff. I think it's a great reason to donate. We recorded a bonus episode with the aforementioned Sarah Morgan.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It was an all Q&A episode with some very weird listener listener questions.
Yeah, we got really real on that shit.
Little tease. We did Fuck, Marry, Kill with the McElroys, mm-hmm. which maybe we've done every other year.
Yeah.
Now, with them playing or with them being who's good?
We actually fuck, married, and killed them.
Nice.
In that order.
Yeah. Each of them. It was in a traditional game of fuck, marry, kill. You choose one to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Riley mentioned for the Troubled Waters bonus episode, I read a piece of erotic fan fiction written by John Luke Roberts. I actually went live to see the Go Fact Yourself bonus content being taped with Ross and Carrie. A really, really hilarious episode that I can recommend personally. That's there on the bonus page as we speak.
And because we've thrown so much of our life away on this program, mm-hmm. there are like a dozen Jordan Jesse Go bonus episodes.
Yeah, there's a ton in there. So yeah, if you got a drive coming up, if you got a vacation, if you got something where you need just a lot of audio, we got it for you.
What do you get at $10 a month? And by the way, all of these are cumulative. So at $10 a month, you get that $5 a month thank you gift. You also get...
For $10 a month, you get one of our very famous and in-demand enamel pins designed by the great Megan Lynn Cott. This year's Jordan Jesse Go pin is a robot, and he has a little banner around him that says, Glug, Glug.
It is pronounced robot. Just wanted to let
you
know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, a robot. I didn't know. Lindsay, so can you kind of explain kind of what the pin situation is? Because, like... If for some reason you don't want the robot who says glug glug, and I don't know why you wouldn't.
I mean, think of how fun it would be to explain that to a coworker.
Can you talk about what other pins are available?
Oh, gosh. I mean, okay. So first of all, I think you can go to MaximumFun.org/pins and see all of them. You can also go to MaximumFun.org/donate and see all of the pins. But every single show... has one, and they're all brilliant. They're all amazing. I don't want to play favorites here, but there is one pin that has two dogs on it, and I'm a real big fan of it.
And that's for Troubled Waters.
The best dog podcasts on the network. For $20 a month, you get that pin, you get the bonus content, and you get a 550-piece Max Fun puzzle. Designed by Jeffrey Tice.
It is really beautiful. It features the gorgeous vista out of the Maximum Fun offices here in MacArthur Park of MacArthur Park Lake and downtown Los Angeles, and a podcast listener contemplating their own entertainment and mortality as they gaze out upon it. It is a genuinely beautiful piece of art that is rendered in a genuinely beautiful puzzle. And let's be frank. Who doesn't go on a family vacation once in a while?
Yeah, you need a puzzle. Get a puzzle. $20 a month. For $35 a month, you get a glass coffee mug engraved with the Max Fun Rocket logo. This is a cool looking item.
I like this one. Now, Jordan, you're a coffee drinker.
Oh, I love it.
What would you put in this mug?
Coffee. Glug, glug, baby. Yum, yum, yum. Java.
Glug, glug, that hot brown.
Got
and maybe
glug,
a little bit of whiskey, because you know what? It's 2 o'clock somewhere.
That's true. It is 2 o'clock somewhere, and I'm fun again. I'm fun again. $50 a month, you get a metal engraved Max Fun membership card personalized with your name. That's super cool. Yeah. You used to chop up some lines of blow.
You can find all of the levels, including 50, 100, and 200, at MaximumFun.org/donate, which is where you should go to become a member of Maximum Fun. And again, I just want to emphasize, we are so immensely proud and grateful that we have been supported all these years by you, the listener. And the big difference in our hearts is if you take the time to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and become a member of Maximum Fun. This is truly a community, and we are very grateful to work for you. So it's easy. It's fun. You get hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of your favorite shows. But more than that, every time that you listen to one of our shows, you'll know that you are the person who made it possible.
MaximumFun.org/Tony.
We'll be back in just a second. I'm Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Riley Silverman, Doctor Who fan.
Lindsay Pavlis, a person.
She is.
It's true.
Confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Riley, Lindsay, it's been a joy to have you here.
It's been great.
Yeah, it's been an honor.
I want to give a special tip of the hat to longtime Jordan Jesse Go listener, Daryl Asher, who's visiting from out of town.
Hey, Daryl.
Out there, probably bored out of his mind, thinking I went from Montana to Los Angeles and I'm spending 2 hours doing this?
Cha. Puh. Cha.
I could be at the Grove right now.
At the Super King.
If there's one thing Daryl Asher hates, it's sitting and listening to podcasts.
part of the Max Fun drive is Max Fun meetups.
Oh, yeah.
They're happening.
When are they happening, Jordan?
I think, and maybe Lindsay, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that all of them happen on March 26th.
Yep, that's true.
Globally. Mm-hmm. It's a global happening. The one here in L.A. That I think we'll all be attending is at the Imperial Western Beer Company. That's 800 North Alameda Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012.
You can go, no matter where you live, to MaximumFun.org/meetups2019. You can find where your local meetup is. Of course, we'll be at the Los Angeles meetup because we live here in what I call the City of Angels.
Mm-hmm. We think globally. We act locally.
That's sure, a good point. Yeah. Reduce, reuse, recycle. That's what I always say. It's 2 o'clock somewhere. So on the 26th from 7 to 11, it's a Tuesday evening, we will be celebrating Max Fun Meetup Day. And that is always a really great time. I feel like people are always like, but what if I don't have a friend to bring with me? Or like, everyone is so sweet. Mm-hmm. Just look for the sweet Dorcases and be friendly with them. They'll love you. They'll be so happy. Everyone will be so happy to meet each other. And then you got a new buddies.
Yeah, these are a real blast. I always look forward to them every year. It's great. And it's always a hoot. Definitely, if there is a Max Fun meetup in your town, you should go.
And you know what? You don't have to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with the McElroys. You can use the Flophouse guys.
Sure. I mean, we're all fucking Stewart, right?
Of course we're all fucking Stewart. What do you think I am, a madman?
If you got a chance to go to town on Stu.
All I think about. Yeah. Beautiful man.
Come on. Hey, speaking of cool bonus content, last year, John Hodgman and I did an episode called Shootin' the Breeze.
This is the all-cheesemonger Maximum Fun show.
Yes, so we recorded a single episode of a podcast that never to be replicated. We both talked about our time as cheesemongers. We both did it in the past. I think it achieved fan favorite status.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of talking about what to do this year. And, you know, people talk about that episode a lot to us.
It's the moment in the history of Maximum Fun when the most beloved and heavily preferred host of Jordan Jesse Go met the most beloved and heavily preferred host of Judge John Hodgman. They finally got rid of the chaff.
Sure.
No chaff, all wheat.
To talk about a thing that is universally loved, except amongst vegans.
Cheese.
Cheese. So.
Hey, even vegans pose for photographs. Am I right, guys?
Yes. What does that mean?
You gotta say cheese.
Oh, hey. Fun. Oh,
it's goat. It's
fun.
Yeah. Cashew cheese.
Yeah.
This is why people like Jordan and Hodgman.
I'm doing great, Justin.
You're
great.
So we decided, even though we made a big stink about our cheese episode only being recorded once, outcry was so loud that we are going back on our word. If we get 2,500 new members, new subscribers to Jordan Jesse Go, we will record episode 2 of Shooting the Breeze.
Ooh.
But people got to donate. So if they don't, no cheese.
Has Hodgman emailed the agent of several famous people who have Breeze in their name?
Yes, we are out to a certain captain who may join us.
Can I just say, you're joking. I was BCC'd on the email.
Yeah, I know. I know, too. We're trying to make it happen. So regardless of if we're joined by everyone's favorite captain.
If we're not, I'm just going to text New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees because I have his number on my phone.
So if you want to hear that episode, go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Oh, and I'll mention again, this Friday I am going to be at Geeky Tees and Games in Burbank doing Joseph Scrimshaw's variety show.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, it's
Game
a blast.
Night, right?
I don't know what I'm doing.
I've done it twice. I did it for New Year's Eve this year. I did it a time. It's a great show. It's
yeah.
Super fun. You're going
to
love it.
Definitely come out to the Max Fun meetup. But if you can't make that, come out to Geeky Tees on March 22nd, 8 p.m.
Riley, what are you up to right now?
Actually, awesome thing this month. I'm working, like I mentioned earlier, I work for Sci-Fi Wire. I do freelance writing for them. And we actually did a really cool project for the month of March. I'm part of a group called Fangirls on the site. And we write like feminist perspectives on sci-fi and stuff like that. And we did a project. It's a limited podcast series on the Sci-Fi Wire network. And every single day in the month of March, we put another episode out called Forgotten Women of Genre. And we picked a different woman who, in a real life hero of sci-fi or fantasy, who has helped like grow the genre into what it is today, but doesn't always get the attention publicly for the amount of work that they did for it. So like we started out the month with Melissa Matheson, who wrote the script for E.T. We talked about Marsha Lucas, who was really involved in the editing of Star Wars and kind of really made Star Wars into the movies that we know and love. And I did scripts for Sally Menka, Nicole Perlman, and Gertrude Barrows Bennett. And so every single day for the entire month, we're putting a new one out, and it's pretty fantastic.
Sounds kick-ass.
I love it.
We're still working on the details. We'll be announcing them shortly, but we're going to have another big giant live stream extravaganza on the last afternoon / evening of the Max Fun Drive. Lindsay, do you have any secrets you want to care to reveal?
Well, first of all, what is happening with my brain today?
800 verbals.
Know what's going on. It's happening a little bit earlier in the evening this year. We've gotten some feedback from East Coasters in the past. It's a little bit late. So it's happening earlier in the day. So hopefully more people can tune in. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Little tease. It's going to be fucking great.
Whoa.
You heard it here first.
I love fucking great things.
Because you're a fun guy.
Yeah, because I'm fun. Fun again.
Jordan, I think you've proven that you're one of the funnest guys around.
Yeah, I sure have.
You're second only to Daryl Asher.
Yeah, Daryl Asher's pretty fun.
He's pretty fun. He came out here to see the drummer from Pink Floyd.
That's cool.
Yeah, he plays the early stuff.
That's fun.
You know how you're always going to shows, you're like, play the early stuff.
Play the early stuff. Enough of the new shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what the drummer from Pink Floyd is up to, him and Daryl Asher. Is Daryl Asher in the band?
Don't know.
I think he is.
Don't know enough about Pink Floyd.
I'm looking at, I think he plays rhythm guitar in Pink Floyd.
That's cool.
Well, he's wearing the shirt, so I don't know why he'd be wearing the shirt if he wasn't in the band.
That's
right.
True, yeah.
That's
they
a
only
good
make
point.
Enough
yeah.
shirts to go over the band members.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. It is actually, on a per-piece basis, very expensive to make those shirts. Because you're basically making them one at a time. I mean, you're making four or five. A backup singer certainly could wear the shirts. So that's like, what, a set, let's call it eight.
Eight shirts.
Eight yeah. total. Maybe if you got a keyboardist on tour.
Maybe you got the second percussionist, too.
You're two percussionists, because it's a big tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and you got that, you got, of course, you got the tambo man.
Sure.
He's technically the third percussionist.
Good old tambo man. Really
I remember when he used to fight Rowdy Roddy Piper in the ring.
Right. Tambo man versus Rowdy yeah. Rowdy Pipes.
Because he was definitely a heel, so.
Yeah, right. We all hated the tambo man.
Yeah. play a song for no one table, man.
I like the idea that all 1980s professional wrestling was just based on instruments people don't like.
Boo.
Oh, no, it's Accordion Joe.
The Glockenspieler.
Boo.
You can find us online by going to MaximumFun.reddit.com for a lively Reddit discussion. You can find us on Facebook by joining the Maximum Fun Facebook group. And, of course, there you can also join local groups by going to MaximumFun.org/local groups using your internet browser, which is what I love to use to surf.
Yeah, like Alta Vista.
Mm-hmm.
I use a QCAT.
Hashtag yes! QCAT, 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 QCAT.
Sounds cute.
It was pretty cute, honestly.
Yeah?
Yeah. Came with your Wired magazine.
Would you ask Jeeves to take you there at some point?
Lindsay, were you just pandering to me by reference?
Ah! Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, whether or not you're full of bullshit, just trying to butter up your boss, you can hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. And, of course, remember, it's Max Fun Drive time, so now is the time to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and become a member of Maximum Fun. We'll love you forever. Hey, guess what, Jordan?
Mm.
Later on this week, before next week's episode, a little special treat since it's Max Fun Drive time. Keep an eye on your feeds.
Keep an eye on the feed for a little treat.
Keep an eye on the feed.
You love
for
little treats.
A little treat.
A little snack.
A little treat from Mommy's Dirty Little Secret. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.